Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and happy Thursday to everyone. This is your host, Ciola J. Abram, and you are with me on Sister Talk Radio Show. Sisters Radio. Again, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Thursday evening, March 9th, 7 p.m., and we are about to listen to or engage in, I should say, a very awesome and powerful show. All right, so let's get the niceties out the way as we typically do every Thursday show. And that is, I'll tell you again, I'm your host, Ciola J. Abram. And I always like to start with thanking our listeners for tuning in and listening to us. I realize that it's Thursday evening. It's prime time, 7 p.m. Some of you are driving home in traffic, and hopefully this will ease the traffic, give you something to ponder on, but not too much where you're not paying attention to the roads. And also to let you know that, you know, I'm aware that some of you may be cooking dinner, preparing for dinner, having family time, and none of that is taken for granted. So please know that we appreciate you tuning in to tonight's show. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to say to all of our faithful listeners, you know, this is just our fifth episode, and I'm telling you, the feedback we've been getting has been phenomenal, phenomenal. And we don't take that for granted. All righty. So again, know that we appreciate you, and I want to say from the depth of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Well, my awesome and wonderful listeners, when I tell you that tonight's show, all of them have been wonderful and fabulous. No, obviously not due to me, but due to the guests who have really come on and just transparently shared their stories, and each one of them have just been awesome. So thank you if you're listening. But tonight's show is great. We have a powerful husband and wife team. And I tell you, this husband and wife team are awesome. Their testimony is truly inspiring and powerful. And I know that our listeners are going to pull from this episode a great, great bit of inspiration and motivation. And I tell you, if you are looking for hope and encouragement, tonight's show will definitely provide that to you. And again, to no credit to me, but definitely to the guests who are going to be with us tonight. And as we listen to or engage in this conversation, I just want you to understand that this, their testimony, God, when I listen, when I talk to the both of them, just their story is incredible, incredible. So tonight we're going to be talking about addiction. Our title for tonight's show is recovery, rehabilitation, restoration, and reciprocity. Wow. How about those words? This is going to definitely be incredible. So as we talk about addiction, they're also going to share their struggle with incarceration, parenting struggles, and more. And wow, can you imagine struggling with an addiction for 20 years? Wow, the cost must have been a great deal. And they're going to share that with us as well. But what I love most about this show is to hear how God, a loving God, transformed their lives and healed their family. Guys, tune in. Stay posted. You're definitely going to want to hear this. And I also want to encourage you, if you know someone who may be struggling with an addiction, if they've lost their children due to addiction or have lost all hope, I want to encourage you. It's still time to tell them to log on, get in on the show, and find some encouragement, hope, and discover that it is possible to come out of it and to come out of it whole and healthy and to live a life that's full of purpose. And you're going to hear all of that on tonight's show. So please let them know if you know anyone. It's still not too late to tune in to tonight's show. All righty. Well, as you all know, before we get started, I'd like to share a few announcements. And tonight I'm particularly excited to share that we are leaving for Las Vegas in the morning to host the Las Vegas Trinity Tour. I want to thank all of those who have been sharing the information. We have been getting quite a few people that are interested, said they're coming, quite a few text messages, email messages, And we're excited about that. Thank you so much. Please understand that it's not us that can break any chains. It is only God through the power of His Holy Spirit. So I do want to let you know that just as much as you all are excited, so are we. We're excited and we're in great expectation of what God is going to do. So as a reminder, Las Vegas this coming Saturday, which is Saturday, March the 11th at the East Las Vegas Community Center. Registration starts at 11 a.m. The cost is $10. And the show or the event or the program, it's not a show, the program will begin promptly at 12 noon, promptly at 12 noon. So please share, share, share. Also want to let you know that we will be in Phoenix, Arizona on the 2nd of April, and that is a Sunday, and we will be in Los Angeles on April the 29th. We've done some shuffling with our Trinity schedule, so I want to encourage you to look at our website, trinitybectour.com. That's www.trinitybectour.com. We were planning our schedule to go to New York and then come back to San Diego and then to Atlanta and then come back to California, but we've changed it, so now we're going to be in Oakland, California in June, San Diego, California, I think I got this right, San Diego, California, in July, and then, okay, my brain is not functioning right now. This is what happens when you're on live radio, so I'm going to encourage you to go to the website and check it out, trinitybectour.com. All right, the last announcement I'm going to make before we get Steve and Mindy Dockin on is that our women's conference is happening June 23rd and 24th of this year. It's in Sacramento, California, a two-day event, and we have a lineup of awesome, wonderful, fantabulous speakers. So I want to encourage you to join us at the 4th Annual Living Life and Loving It Women's Conference, and that will take place on Friday, June 23rd, and Saturday, June 24th, 2017, in Sacramento, California. And you can find out more information on that conference at www.sceoanew.org. All righty, we have about 10 seconds or so, okay, maybe 15 or 20 seconds, before we bring Steve and Mindy Dockin on. So before we do that, I want to let you know that if you have any questions that you want to have Steve or Mindy or myself to answer, I would ask you to send those questions to info@sceoanew.org, and please include your name, your question, and to whom your question is addressed to, and we will try and answer those questions during the live show. The other thing I want to say is we've been having quite a few of our listeners comment, and they've been sending those comments to me via text and email. And I thought I would be able to add them to the actual Blog Talk comments because you expressed to me that you wanted to share what the show, how the show has been helping you. I would ask you tonight, if you're listening in and you have access to your Facebook account, at the bottom of the website for Sister Talk Radio Show, there is a section where you can comment. Please leave your comments there before you leave the show, because I've been unsuccessful in adding them after the fact, and I want to honor your request. And also, I want to be able to show others what the show is doing for them and how it's helping them. And it's also an encouragement to me as well. Okay. So we're getting ready to bring Steve and Mindy Dockin on. I hope you're ready. I am excited. So give me a couple of seconds here, and we will bring tonight's guest on with us. All righty, here we go. Hold on a moment. Steve and Mindy, are you with us?
We are.
How are you?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. Can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly. That's very clear. Good job. How are you guys doing tonight?
Well, we're doing good.
All right. There's no nervousness in you, is there?
Actually, yes.
Okay, wait. You're not alone. You're not alone. For some reason, I was nervous for tonight's show, too. I'm not sure why, but I was like, where are all these nerves coming from? My belly was having butterflies, and I'm normally not nervous, but tonight I was. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. All right. Well, Steve and Mindy, I want to just, first of all, just thank you for joining us tonight. I'm personally excited to hear your story and to share with our listeners, because your story is so awesome and so powerful. And I'm a firm believer in sharing our testimony, because I think it's beneficial. I think it helps not only us, but it helps the listeners. And I know what it's like to publicly share your story, and I don't take that for granted. So please let me be the first to say thank you so much for being willing to do this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate it. We love to tell our story. There's power in our testimony.
All right, now you better say that. That's the truth. That's the truth. All right. Well, Steve, did you have something? You wanted to say something, Steve? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, I'm ready to do this and give our testimony. And the word says that we defeat the enemy by the word of our testimony and the power of his blood. So let's do this.
Man. You guys are after my own heart. That's my favorite scripture, Steve. That's actually Revelations 12:11. That's my favorite scripture. I love it. I love it. Okay, so let's jump right in here with our interview. So the first thing I'd like to start with is, can either of you or both of you tell me from your perspectives, individually or collectively, however you want to do it, what caused, started, or triggered the substance abuse that later turned into an addiction?
Well, I think I'll go first. I was raised with three siblings, older sisters and an older brother, and my brother was 4 years older than me, so I was always tagging along with him, and so I wanted to fit in with him and all of his friends, and so I think the start of using any substance was wanting to fit in, but I had a big emptiness in my heart, and I had big abandonment issues, and I just never felt like I belonged, not even in my family. So I was always trying to fill that emptiness and that abandonment in my heart because I didn't even feel like I belonged in my family, or I was always looking for someplace to belong. And so I would feel that starting with alcohol, drinking at a very young age. There was a lot of drinking and fighting, a lot of abuse in my family, physical abuse, mental abuse. And I was always, I had really low self-esteem, and I was always trying to fill that with something. So at a very young age, I was drinking and using, and then through my life, I don't think I ever had the desire to really, I never really knew that that I was using. I just continued to use and tried to fill that emptiness and that hole that was in my being.
Wow. Okay, I'm thinking I'm going to have to ask you guys to come back for a second show, because I think this is going to get real deep. Okay, Mindy, did you want to contribute?
I know that my home life growing up was very, very lonely and very unsafe. Not unsafe physically, but unsafe emotionally. So my dad was a raging alcoholic, and my mom was always trying to hold it together. And so it all fell apart. But when I turned 14, I had no family to fall back on. When I was 14, I went to high school, and I, again, like my husband, I didn't feel like I fit in. And immediately the people that embraced me were the people that were behind the school smoking, that were, into that lifestyle. So immediately, rather than having to feel uncomfortable and be by myself, I gravitated toward the people that immediately embraced me, which was the wrong crowd.
Wow. Okay, I just want to kind of circle back to Steve. Steve, first of all, again, wow, from as a man, to be able to share so transparently what you just shared, that's huge. And that's to be applauded, because not many men can actually share just what you shared in that brief moment. So my hat's off to you, sir. That was huge. And especially to say that, you know, you suffered from low self-esteem. That's huge. As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, how many men could really benefit from hearing this and from understanding that they're not alone? Abandonment issues. I've heard this before, you know, from men that I've come in contact with, ministering and so on and so forth. And it's just, that's pretty incredible. So it started for both of you in the family home, looking to fit in and feeling unsafe. Would that be correct and a correct assumption of what you all just shared?
100% correct.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
They say our stories start at home, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true, Steve. You know, I got to tell you something. I don't know. As I was preparing for this interview, I kept wanting to call you Pastor Steve. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, why do I keep wanting to call him Pastor Steve? It's like Pastor Steve. It's like every time I went to refer to you, it just kept coming forth. Pastor Steve, Pastor Steve. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. So the addiction was alcohol. I'm sorry, Mindy?
I said speak that. He has a desire.
Well, it was definitely coming forth. As I looked at his name, everything, it was just Pastor Steve. Okay, so the addiction was alcohol. The addiction was, do you want to share what the addiction was in addition to alcohol?
Okay, I can start. I started drinking. My parents always had alcohol laying around. They were always drinking. There was a lot of drunken parties continuously through my life, and I would sneak and drink alcohol, and my brother and his friends would smoke marijuana, and I would smoke marijuana with them at a young age. I would continue smoking marijuana and drinking until I was about 12 or 13, and I started experimenting with methamphetamine, which took me for a long, long ride in a roller coaster, many, many years of destructive habits. Eventually, after about 10 years of that, I tried heroin and found what I was looking for, I thought. And it continuously, they say jail's institution and death, and that was definitely the path that I was on for many years.
Wow, wow. What about you, Mindy?
A very similar story. But at 14, I started to drink and experiment with all kinds of drugs. And then when I was 19, I became a very heavy methamphetamine user. And then I backed off everything and was sober for a bit. And then when I was 25, I began to use heroin intravenously for about 6 years. So,
wow. Okay.
Yeah, 12 years ago, I got sober from, and I, just like I picked everything up one at a time, I put everything down one at a time. So the Lord, he delivered me one by one. And so, yeah, I've been 100% clean and sober for 11 and a half years.
That is incredible. So, okay, so that takes us kind of into the next question. So how long, Steve, were you, how long did the addiction last? And Mindy, the same question. So, Pastor Steve, do you want to go first?
Okay, I would say I started using about 8 years old, periodically. It wasn't full time, but I would sneak drinks and sneak some marijuana from somebody's stash and smoke cigarettes. And I would start using marijuana and drinking at about 12, fully drinking a lot about 15 years old and using methamphetamine continuously every day, probably, until I was 40. So
so from 8 until 40?
Yes, continuously, yes. Yes, that's until I was about 40.
Okay, okay. And Mindy, it was how long for you?
Let's see, from 14 to, what was it, till 30. So, for,
okay, so for about 16 years?
15 or 16 years, yes.
Okay, okay. Okay, so with the addiction, and what did it cost you in terms of family, relationships with parents? I had a sibling, I have, that she's still alive, I have a sibling that she's no longer struggling, but she, from the time she was 15, she was a cocaine user, probably until like 2.5-3 years ago. And I know what that was like for me, you know, to see my sister like that, going through what she went through, and nothing I did could help her. So what did it cost you in terms of family, relationships with your parents, siblings, and most importantly, with your children?
Well, I had my mother was, she was just the mother's love, and I had to continuously abuse her, broke her heart, just continuously just to use her, and she would just continue to just love me unconditionally. What I put her through, I didn't see it when I was using, but once I got clean, I in hindsight, I looked back and thought, oh, how could I do that to her, you know? And and I had a sister, she had to literally just close her life out to me, she had to lock her house. I wasn't welcome in her home. She wouldn't answer my calls. She just had to give me the tough love thing. And I had kids earlier in my life, and I was locked up and incarcerated behind using drugs and the lifestyle that I chose, that I was so separated from them that I was never there to father them. And so I'm sure later in the interview we'll talk more about that, but the absence of not being in their life was very dominant and effective to a relationship that was needed in raising them. I would say this: thank God for grandparents and for family that stepped in, surrogate people to give them a life that they deserve, that I never I failed to give them.
Wow, that is so incredible. Mindy, how did it affect you? Because at the time you weren't married, the two of you weren't married at the time, right?
Can he just add one more part to that? Because he has
absolutely.
Well, I have quite a story that goes with this, but I'll just keep it short. I ended up.
I told
having
you, I'm bringing you guys back with your approval.
I was actually incarcerated. I'm not sure how many years ago, but my mother got really sick, and I actually, over the years and everything, I would get out of jail and I would go visit my mother, and then, I ended up burying her. They let me out of jail, and I went and buried her. But she's on freedom. But as one of my struggles is the fact that she passed away and went to heaven when I was still in my addiction. So,
Wow. Okay. I don't know about you all, but I'm probably going to be in tears. Okay. Go ahead, Mindy. This is incredible.
That's a big price to pay. You know, he carries that with him because, he's the kind of person that would have been there for his mother if he'd have been sober day in and day out to help her as she aged. And so those, I think those that you carry with you, because you don't get a do-over on that one. That's not something that you can press restart on. And so, but for me, the price was, my family finally, they finally did tough love, so that everyone in my family finally shut the door on me. And then I was in my addiction and still parenting, and my daughter was 5 years old. And I went to pick her up from school one day, and I was under the influence, but I thought that I was holding it together. And she was not at school. And so my family had gone behind my back and filed for legal guardianship of her and gone to the judge to deem me as an unfit mother. And so I was shocked, dismayed, brokenhearted. It was definitely a bottom for me when I went to pick her up and she just gone. And so it took me 2 years to around and get my life back together and come back and be an active parent in her life again. And so that was the biggest, and then it took me another year after that to for my father to come back into my life. So those were the two biggest relationships that I lost that were turning points for me to wake up calls or moments of clarity to the reality of what was really going on in my addiction.
Wow. Okay. While I'm looking at the time, we're already halfway in. Well, I took up about 7 minutes of the time with announcements, but I want to just ask, because I definitely want to get to the ministry that was birthed from your stories, which is really powerful, and what you're doing. But I want to touch on a couple of things, three more points. And we talked about it a little bit in regarding to as parents, when you were in your addiction, what were your thoughts concerning your children? So the both of you touched on that a little bit. Is there anything that you may want to add to that briefly, just kind of what were your thoughts concerning your children? I mean, again, you all just, you touched on it a little bit. So do you feel like that was satisfactory, or did you want to add something else too?
I think what I want to add is that the best thing that ever happened to me was to have my family step in. It was the most hurtful and painful, but the best thing that ever happened to me, and really 100% the best thing that ever happened to my daughter, was to have my parents step in when I was not in a place to make a good, sound decision on behalf and be a parent, and to step in and take control of that situation in order to protect her and to advocate for her. And so as well, it was the hardest thing for her and the hardest thing for me, it was very dark for us, but at the same time, it was the best thing that happened to us.
And I would add that in the midst of my addiction, that I had people that were taking care of my kids saying that you don't love your children. And I would disagree with that, because I always had the desire when I had a clear mind and my heart was well, I always had the desire to love, and I had the desire to want to be a dad and wanted to be part of their lives. But the power and the power of the addiction that was more powerful than my desire to change always took over until a day came. So I would just disagree with the fact that I didn't love my children. I just wasn't able to love them at the time the way they needed to be loved.
Good, because I think a lot of people are judgmental, you know, and maybe critical to things that they don't understand. If you've never dealt with an addiction, whether it be an addiction yourself or having a loved one, and you don't have a heart of compassion, then you really can't understand. So I would agree with that. I don't. Pastor Steve, I'm just going to call you Pastor Steve instead of trying to fight that, it's not about a lack of love. It's just, you know, not being capable in the moment. And I think, you know, that more people should really know about that and understand that. So thank you for sharing that. That was a very good point. So Steve, talk with us about being incarcerated for 18 years. You talked a little bit about that, but what was that like for you? Did it bring you to a place of truth, of understanding, or did it, you know, deepen your desire to get straight or get clean?
Well, I would say at one point I thought that, you know, I was just incarcerated, and I always held on to every time I was incarcerated, I had the desire to get out and do the right thing. It just continued to be a revolving door of going into jail, incarceration, and coming back out and going back into the streets and using drugs, and that would just keep me in and out, going back in the revolving door. But I would think that I would say that that being incarcerated probably spared my life, so that I could live today. But I would say I had something I was going to say about this, but I'm sure we're pressed for time. So I think it's about image, and I think that you know, we desire to have an image, and so we end up in jail. And I think that jail is full of people and men that and I think there's an attack on the male race, and I think that that the enemy is trying to keep the men away from fathering and being the head of their households. And so I think that the institutions are full of men, and the children are doing without without fathers. And I'm sure that the institutions are full of men that are desiring to get out and do the right thing. And that was pretty much my story for a lot of years until I got clean, and Jesus transformed my life.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. I'm just talking during because I'm over here just flabbergasted. This is so incredible. God, you're absolutely right. This is great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I know you had something else you wanted to add. So could you hold that thought? Don't lose it, you know, because I want to come back because I know it's going to be powerful. So I want to get through a couple of more points, and then I want to come back to the point you wanted to make. Does that work for you?
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So, man, I need you guys on again. Okay. So talk to me. This is so good, Mindy. I kid you not. This is absolutely beautiful. Talk to us about the road to recovery, rehabilitation, restoration, and reciprocity. I put in reciprocity because so many people, you know, refer to that term as, you know, money. You give money, and, you know, what you sow, it will be sown. But you guys, you know, you're giving your life to God, and look what he's given in terms of the ministry and the lives that he's allowing you to be able to touch. That's why I use that word. So I wanted both of you to explain to us, you know, what that road was like to recovery, rehabilitation, restoration, and reciprocity, and tell us how God fits into all of this redemptive work, if you will.
That is a huge question.
I know. I'm telling you, we're going to need another show. Okay, cool. Go for it.
So much unpack with that question, because for me, I'm looking at 11 years of one day at a time, 11 years of doing things, 11 years of trusting the process that Jesus Christ has a plan and a purpose for every trial and every tribulation that you're going through, and that everything that you're going through and everything that I went through strengthened me. But it was one day at a time, one step at a time, one faith at a time, and slowly that mustard seed of faith grew and grew and grew, and those roots went down deeper and deeper. But everything that grew, that it was grown out of service. The thing that kept me and my husband sober was we got sober, and we immediately began to give back to God. It was like those 10 lepers. You had 10 and 9 left and skipped off down the road that were healed, and one leper came back to thank the house of God for that healing. And me and my husband are those lepers that we came back and we just gave our everything to Jesus because we had been saved from the pit of hell. And so our 11 years of sobriety has literally been an act of service day in and day out.
Wow. Okay. I'm normally not speechless on these, but I'm speechless.
It would be so hard to tell you all of the stories in such a short time, but what happened was I came in and I started working in the women's program. So I started taking Bible studies into the women's program week in and week out, women's Bible studies to help other women to be strengthened in the Word of God. So I did that for 4 years, Meanwhile, my husband came out. We weren't married yet. My husband came out. He came through a program, and he did the same thing week in and week out. He was going into men's programs and teaching the Word of God. And so as we taught the Word of God, we were strengthened by the Word of God. And as we refreshed others, we were refreshed. And so all the things that the biblical principles that are in the Word of God that are promises, they were manifesting and coming true in our life.
Amen.
So that reciprocity, right, Pastor Steve? Amen. So that reciprocity has a key meaning then, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Okay.
And I would like to
go ahead, Pastor.
I'm going to quote another scripture. It's Romans 8:28. It says, "For all things work together for the good of those called according to His purpose." And I always use that scripture in the basis of saying all things. So even our dirt and our struggle and our pain and our childhood and all the stuff that we went through today, when we're about ready to talk about our ministry, it's so evident that all that stuff that we went through, as I went through as a child, when I look into a child's eyes and I look into the struggle, that it's not just sympathy, it's empathy, because I've been there, because I know, because so many people will look at a situation and they'll look at it from the outside and they'll try to figure it out, but if you can put yourself in that situation, you can be more helpful for God. And so that's why I say all things work together for the good.
That's another one of my favorite scriptures. And the part I love about that it really is. And the part about, I think I quote it throughout my book, that and Revelations 12:11. And the thing I love about that scripture is when it says, and we know that all things work, you know, it's that part, you know, who are the called. I like that word, the called, right?
Yes.
That the called sticks out. You know, every time I read that, it's like the called. And I say, Lord, we are the called. That just means something. See, we're going to mess around and have Bible praise and worship church and Bible study on this call tonight. Okay. All right. I know. This is so good. You guys are awesome. I want to talk about this fabulous work that you all are doing. So please tell us, what are you doing? Share with us this powerful ministry that you have as a result of what appeared to be a dark place in your life. Now the marvelous light of God is shining through and impacting others. Tell us about that.
Well, I can just tell you that my husband and I got married 7 years ago, and because we served side by side together for 4 years, we knew each other. He knew that I was the one, and it took me some time to be ready to move into marriage. I knew that my relationship would be marriage. And so 4 years of serving side by side, I always say we went on a date, and three months later, we were married. And then a year later, we had our son, and a year after that, we had our daughter. So my husband has a 28-year-old. He's got a 22-year-old. I've got a 19-year-old. Then we've got a 6-year-old and then a 5-year-old. And so we actually have grandchildren that are the same age as our children. And but who we are and where we are, 4 years ago, we moved into our first home. We bought a home, which was a miracle in itself, right? Praise the Lord.
Come on now. Praise the Lord.
And the Lord, He birthed a ministry there, and it was most AA and NA meetings, at the end, you circle up, you hold hands, and you take a moment of silence for all the children caught in the crossfire of addiction and abuse and the addict or alcoholic that's still suffering. And so 4 years ago, we started to birth a ministry called Crossfire Kids. All of those children caught in the crossfire of addiction and abuse and the neglect and the abuse and the of being in addiction. So we started to birth that, and what we started doing was stepping in on behalf of people that we had started working with. We started to work with their kids, and so they would go out. These, you know, the addicts would go back out and and what is the word?
Relapse.
Relapse. And then their kids would stop coming to church. And then we realized that there was all that the kids had no they had no choice. And so we started to step in and be a voice for all these kids without a choice. And so and we say that we're on call and available to intervene on behalf of at-risk kids, striving to connect vulnerable children to the village, dedicated to advocating, protecting, and nurturing the children caught in the crossfire of addiction, abuse, and neglect, while mentoring and equipping men and women to rise up to be the godly parents that they're called to be.
You better say that, Mindy. My goodness. So, I'm wow, okay? You guys have absolutely wowed me. So let me just recap this powerful story. So, two individuals who were raised in unsafe homes, I like that term, unsafe homes, unsafe from abuse, unsafe from neglect, unsafe from stability. There was no stability there. Unsafe due to abuse, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, 30 plus years on one, 15 plus years on another. You had your children taken. You were incarcerated, Pastor Steve. All of this, and now today, everything you've experienced, God has turned that thing around and now using it for His glory.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Yes, and I would say that our biggest gift that the Lord has given us is the strength of our family, and that we are a unit. We are a strong family built on Christ, on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our everything. My kids learn how to lean on Him because everything doesn't go their way. And I can tell you that even right now, as we speak right here on this phone call, my 19-year-old, That was taken from me. I went to school to go pick her up, and she wasn't there. And I went back, and I parented her. I became an active parent in her life again. And now she's at home watching my 5- and my 6-year-old because she is part of our family ministry team because she believes in Jesus. She is filled with the love of God. She is filled with compassion for children that have go through these difficult times with their parents. Why? Because she has been through it.
So God has completely healed your family.
We're close to being completely healed. I don't think we ever, you know, there's always going to be more. It's like an onion. You can keep peeling it back. There's always more, but I believe that the Lord has done a mighty work in us.
I like that. Yeah. I like that statement. Wow, Mindy. Pastor Steve, you had a comment? Go ahead.
Well, I have a little quote to say that, you know, before there was ever a church or a government, there was God's design of, and we talked earlier about how our stories begin at home. We talked about childhoods and how our childhoods were abrupted and dysfunctioned and how we've overcome it by the blood. But we talked about that, and we are a family ministry. We're a part of God's family, but I think that the key is that our goal is to build families and to help parents and children, not necessarily, but anyway, so the family design is God's design, that's all.
I like your quote. Can you quote that again? He is adorable. Can you quote that again, Steve? That was powerful, the quote you just said.
I said, before there was ever a church or a government, there was God's design, and that was family.
That needs to be a T-shirt.
We'll make it.
That's really nice. I would definitely wear that all over as a reminder of why we are where we are. So that is huge. Okay, so we're down to just about 15 minutes, but I want, and Pastor Steve, I haven't forgot, and I know that you're not technically a pastor yet, but that kept coming before me. So, you know, Mindy said I had the approval to just call that thing to be not as though it was. So you are. So I want to be able to go back to your statement that you wanted to make earlier. So if you can recollect that, I'll come back to it. But can you tell me where is your ministry at? And if someone needs help, how do they reach you? Where do they find out more information about Crossfire Kids? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
I'll let Mindy do that.
So we do have a website, www.crossfirekids.org. There is a our phone numbers are listed on there, and there is a link, an email link that will email us directly.
Wow. So www.crossfirekids.org is the website address where they can find your contact information, and they can also click on a link to send you an email if they want to inquire about and receive further information, correct?
Yes. And there's also testimonials of families that we've helped, kids that we've intervened on behalf of. You know, every situation is different. There's no one set case of how we help or who we help, but we are led by the Lord, and we believe that God brings us the people that He wants us to help, and the families that He wants us to help, and the children, the vulnerable children that He wants us to advocate for or to protect, because sometimes kids need that.
That's true. Okay, so are you still holding Bible study with the women groups, or are now you just totally with Crossfire Kids? Because I know that's a huge responsibility and a lot of work.
I would say I work more one-on-one with younger mothers mentoring. So we came into a program called Luxie House, which is a teenage pregnant, it's a homeless teenage pregnant facility. So we connected with that. And lately, where God has had me placed lately is He's been working, helping me to work with young mothers or first-time mothers on a one-on-one basis.
That's awesome. Okay, Pastor Steve, did you get your thought back?
Well, I didn't really want to start preaching. So, in Genesis, it says, God says, let us make man in our own image and likeness. And I think that because of the fall of man, that sometimes we have an image, and an image is how we see ourselves or how we see other people see us. And so sometimes in life, we continue to try to build a false image of ourselves, almost like an idol, and we become that person. But there's the likeness part. And not to be misinterpreted, that when God said, let us make man in our image, God's image is holiness and righteousness. So So God made us holy and righteous, but our desire and the way we see ourselves and the way we think other people see us, we become something else. But then it talks about the likeness, and the likeness is the likeness of Christ. And so as believers, or even not even as believers, as human beings, that we are made in the image and likeness of Christ. And so that's the desire, and that's what God desires for us to do, is that we would find our identity in Christ. And I think about the men that are incarcerated in the prisons, and the women, and the people that we're helping, and the brokenness of this world, and even the kids that we're mentoring and we're advocating for, is that the image that is being formed in them is not of God. And so it's just very meaningful for me to address that. And so I think our key is just to lead people to the one that can truly lead them and heal them. Because we can't do it. You know, we can only be vessels that can help these people. And so the key is the identity in Christ and who we really are, and not the image that we've made. That's all.
No, I think that's good, and you're absolutely right. I wrote a note on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and the title was Dare to Be Authentic, you know, and the premise of that was dare to be who God created you to be, not leaning to what's common, not leaning to what's trending, not leaning to what others are doing or how others perceive you, but the truth of who you are. And you're absolutely right that God did create us in His image, and His image and His likeness, the likeness is the like of Christ. And you're right, His image is holiness and righteousness. And we have gotten off track and away from that. So what we're seeing is representative of that very fact. What we're seeing all around us is the result of getting away from holy and righteous living, and no longer continuing to become in the image of Christ. So I think you're right on point with that, Steve. I think you're absolutely right on point with that. And thank you for sharing. Thank you for holding that thought. We're just about down to 9 minutes. Is there anything that the two of you want to add that we did not cover regarding addiction, regarding the struggle with parents and their children, and the children who are kind of left, as you said, and your ministry left in the crossfire of all of this? Is there anything that either of you or both of you want to add for that matter?
Well, I would add this. As far as addiction goes, I'm a big fan and a promoter of the 12 steps. I'm sold out for Jesus, and I know Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And I know that to look at the inner man and the old man and the new man. But I think when it comes to dealing with addiction, I think that there's a process that you need to really realize that your life has become unmanageable. That's the starting place. You have to really accept that and admit it. And you have to find a willingness. In the program, they call it the how of the program: honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And so as far as the 12 steps goes, I believe that's a pattern of I've seen many people in church that just can't get sober or clean or put the stuff down and allow God to work in their life. And it goes both ways. But I'm a firm promoter of the program and the 12 steps. Mm-hmm. I believe even in the Bible, it says that we should take an inventory and examine our heart and our path. And I think that I would share that, you know, after I did the 12 steps and I did a 4-step, and I made an inventory of everything, and the harms and the dangers and the resentments and the fears and all my social instincts, I had realized that that's where the image came from. I had realized that I was just a scared boy, that I wasn't a big tough guy that I had proclaimed to be. And I think there's healing in that. So that's what I would leave with.
Wow. I think that's good. And Mindy, I'll let you go in just a second. We're about down to 6 minutes. I think that's good what you said, Steve, because I think a lot of times, sometimes those of us who are Christians feel like that, you know, we don't need to seek any other help. That would just be like, you know, having suffered a heart attack and say, oh, not that God can't heal us, but maybe that's the way He chooses to heal you, by sending you to the doctor. So, and I think what you're saying is basically the same thing. You know, God can deliver you from addiction. He can deliver you from any and all things. But the method in which He chooses to do it, whether it's natural or supernatural, it's still God, because it's still His ability working through others.
Yes.
So I totally agree. Okay, Mindy, go ahead. You're welcome, Steve. You're welcome.
I think I just have two things. One is don't count anybody out. I've seen a miraculous turnaround in people that you never anticipated or guessed would be the ones that would get it. And so don't count anybody out. The other thing I want to say is that if there's someone that's actively using, today is the best day to start. So tomorrow will never come, but today to start right now. Don't put it off. Today is your day. But the other thing, if you're still using, I would say to look around you, because you are impacting someone's life, even if it's a mother, a father, a sister, could be your kids, could be your spouse, but you are impacting someone. And if you will put down the drugs and the alcohol, you can turn around your entire family and impact them in a positive way.
Wow. Wow. Today is the day. Not tomorrow. Today is the day.
Amen.
Amen. That is good. That is good. Steve, do you have any word for the men who may be listening in? Any words of encouragement? We're down to about 4 minutes. So roughly we got about a minute and a half for you to make your comment.
Well, if there's any men listening right now, today is the day. And there's another way is what I would say. There's another way, and man up. And, I never dreamed in a million years that I would wake up one day and say, I'm going to man up and do things. So I would say that, and just keep coming back. It works.
I got one more saying. It says, the lie is dead, we do recover. That's what they say in NA, and the lie is dead, we do recover. And if you're only surrounding yourself with people that are using, then it's easy to trick yourself that people don't really change. But there's a whole community of people in recovery that are doing it, that they are recovering.
Yeah, we always
and
say
you
all
guys
the
are... Go ahead, Pastor Steve, say that again. I like that. Say that again.
I said we always say all the cool guys are doing it. And I would say that, you know, like Mindy said, I look and there's such a community of people that I used to be in the world with that are it's really happening. It's just miraculously happening everywhere. God is moving and shifting and changing, and people are really getting clean.
Yeah.
And there's a commitment. And here's what I would leave with everybody. I'm sorry, I kind of got stuck last time, but there's a community, and we always wanted to be part of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in prison or in jail or even in on drugs in the world, we wanted to be part of something. And there's a community. When I first got clean, I was just so amazed that there was just people that actually really cared. I didn't think anybody cared. There's people that didn't even know. They just cared because it's like one hand helping another.
Reciprocity.
reciprocity. I like that. That's okay. We're here to help each other. So we're down to about 2 minutes. Wow, you guys are so encouraging and so inspirational, and you offer such motivation to anyone and everyone who may be struggling, who may not believe that there's hope or that there's an opportunity to get clean. And I like what the both of you said, that there is a community of those who have who are in recovery and who are doing it. I like what you also said, that today is the day, not tomorrow, but today is the day. And I also want to recap that, if you're using, you're impacting someone's life. You know, it's not just you. You're impacting someone, whether it be your mother or your children. So that's good. Thank you all so much for joining us. I don't want this to cut off on us. We're about a minute out, but I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much. www.crossfirekids.org. Please visit their website. Yes. Check out the testimonies. Send them inquiries. Ask questions. Find out more information about what they're doing. And not only that, how you can support their ministry and what they're doing. Yes. Pastor Steve and Mindy Duncan, thank you so much.
Yes.
For joining us and
thank
sharing
you.
So
thank
transparently
you for having
your
us.
Testimony. You're more than welcome. God bless you both, and I truly appreciate you.
Thank you
All
very
right.
much for this opportunity.
Right.
Thank you. Okay. God bless
You're
you.
You're welcome. God bless you as well. All right. So that was an awesome show. We're about 50 seconds out. I just want to, again, thank, he's not a pastor officially, but that just kept coming up in my spirit, Pastor Steve and Mindy Dawkins for joining us. I want to remind you again that Sister Talk is on every Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's blogtalkradio.com/sistertalk.com. That's where you can find us. If you have any comments about tonight's show, please leave them now if you're listening in. Join the Trinity Break Every Chain Tour on this coming Saturday in Las Vegas. Visit our website at www.trinitybectour.com. I'm your host, Ceola J. Abram, and you have been listening to Sister Talk with Pastor Steve and Mindy Dawkin. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you in Las Vegas. And if not then, God willing, we'll see you back here next Thursday.